Welcome to the Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. I am here today with Sean O'Brien.
Greggy, we made it, baby.
We did?
What I'm calling him now, Greggy.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that.
The Gregory before. Greg is retired.
Greggy.
Greggy.
I don't know about that.
Greggy, baby.
Tim Convey's also here.
Greggy, baby.
Jumping on the Notre Dame bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Why, have you been Notre Dame true and blue or true blue all the way?
I grew up, we went up to a game every single year. I was covered in Notre Dame gear most of my childhood.
I haven't seen any of it until they got to the top four.
You didn't? I've had this hat for many, many years when I was up there last several years ago.
Well, this is episode.
There's no tag.
I mean, you got to peel it off.
This is episode 560. Let's go through the previous 559 and see if you've ever worn the hat.
That's fair. I don't know that it's made it to the podcast yet.
I don't know if you know there's video of this. There's a record. We can check.
What?
Yeah. It's something Sean hasn't understood for a long time. You can check lies.
Well, let me ask this, Greg. Does Tim wear more Notre Dame stuff than I wear Bill's stuff? On this show.
No, you wear... Yeah.
So, I'm not claiming that.
I'm not claiming...
Very
the proud. Bills don't wear as much Bills stuff.
Fair point.
You got more stuff than Josh Allen. I got a ton of stuff. My grandfather went there, uncles, whatever. We were... Every Saturday, that's what we did, so...
So you're a fan.
Yeah, 100%. That's cool. And this is... Yes, this postseason is it's been fun. Good season.
So what would you do if Mizzou, I'm a big fan. If Mizzou in some crazy world played Notre Dame?
What?
Oh my word.
What?
I'd have to go Mizzou.
What? I can't believe you hesitated.
I'd have to go to
He's
I'd
like, I guess.
Oh my God.
I'm not happy about it.
I didn't grow up, like my parents didn't go to Mizzou or anything. So I didn't grow up in Mizzou. It was like, oh cool, Mizzou's around. So it wasn't until I went to school there that I became a Mizzou fan, whereas from my childhood, as early as I can remember, you watched Notre Dame games.
Was Mizzou good when you were there? Was that the Chase Daniel? But Chase Daniel was after you, right?
He was after me. They were not good when I was there.
You were after Corby Jones?
Correct. Corby, he'd still hang out a little bit, but no, he was not, you're right. They were not good.
Before Franklin? Was it James Franklin? No. Who's the other guy that was a really good, played for the Jets. He was our quarterback. He was
Brad
Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he around for you?
No, he was after me too.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Yep.
Right.
He was fun.
He was great, man.
He was real good.
Yeah. I got to meet him.
Yeah.
I went on a recruiting trip to Notre Dame. I went up there and met the coach and I actually got accepted to go to school there. And
did you really?
They didn't offer me any money.
Yeah.
And I never lost to a Notre Dame guy.
Oh, good for you.
I'll tell you that.
I'm happy to hear that. It's such a cool place, though.
It's pretty neat, man.
The campus, it's.
I'll tell you what is sort of a depressing town, South Bend, Indiana, though.
Yeah. It's one of those towns that just
looks like where they made a movie about the place where the plant closed.
Right.
You know?
And it has a certain smell to it.
I didn't know that.
Ah, that's just Indiana.
No.
Sean takes so many shots at Indiana, man.
I love Indiana.
We've been through.
It's a big part of our listeners.
It
man.
Is.
Yeah. And I think our number, like, I was looking at some data, like our number four listening audience is Indianapolis.
Number four.
Number four city.
And I appreciate that. I am having fun, joking around. And yes, they will admit your highways, not great. I mean, it's not, there are some pothole issues that seem a little bit more aggressive than other states.
Yeah,
we did New Year's Eve in Indianapolis.
We did.
It was fun. At great club. Really cool Consumers people came out.
I'll say this: Indianapolis downtown 10 times nicer than St. Louis.
Ten times
nicer.
It's great. I'm not gonna pit it against my.
Well, yeah, of course you guys can't.
Home,
you know, can't stab your own hometown. But
no, we have some problems. The city of St. Louis has some problems. We do. I mean,
go to the Arch, go to Busch Stadium, leave.
Indianapolis downtown is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just like St. Louis. I'm just saying I'm saying something nice is my point. So everyone, you know, it's just relax.
You may hate Indiana, but you got a fan in Connecticut. I did a show at the Mohegan Sun Casino. Guy came up to me after the show. And he said, I want you to give this to Sean.
You got to be kidding me. What is this? All right. For those of you listening,
For those of you listening, is a t-shirt that says 390, commemorating one of the dumbest things ever said on a podcast or any form of a broadcast. And that's
I'll
for you, buddy.
I'll support it. Let's see.
You can thank Michael McDonald, the lead singer of the Doobie Brothers.
Wow. And he was in the AT&T commercials like 10 years ago.
Yeah, such a long way to go.
That was pretty good, Tim.
Thank you.
I like it when you
I'm a big fan. Speaking of St. Louis, Michael McDonald, St. Louis's own.
Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald's from St. Louis?
Are you out of your mind?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Randy was in a band with him. Weren't you, Randy?
Yeah.
Andy, him, and Greg Allman started together, didn't they?
Oh, St. Louis. Michael McDonald, absolutely from St. Louis. And a legend.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh,
to
I
this
love
day.
Michael McDonald. His voice is amazing, man.
So strong.
Yeah. Oh, is he Ferguson?
Yeah.
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 Now, is he Mike in the Mechanics?
No. That's Who's the guy it? From Genesis, right? Yeah.
Bill Collins?
Randy, you were in Genesis for a minute.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. Randy played in Genesis.
When
yeah.
Mike left with the Mechanics, they got Randy.
Yeah. He was the drummer when Phil went solo.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy was.
He actually, there was a minute between Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. People don't talk about it a lot, but.
It was Randy?
It was Randy.
Old Randy Lang got in there, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Got in there.
Yeah.
I did get a picture from somebody on Facebook. I think it might have been in the Facebook chat group, fan group. There is a Randy Land in Pittsburgh.
That. Incredible.
It's like, yeah, so we got to go there.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
Maybe what is it?
I don't know. I need to take a look at it. It had like a giant mural like of all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Randy Land.
We'll have to get the bottom of this.
Randy
Land. Sean, real. We were talking off air. You went to breakfast at this place called the Shack, which,
So
I like the Shack. I like Shack too, but I like the Shack in that they were one of the first people to go with a gluten-free menu in St. Louis and they got some cool stuff, but it's not my favorite breakfast restaurant. I'll say that. And you have a specific, complaint you want to lodge.
First of all, Shack is, I think it's great. I think the food's great. Stand by. I'll go there again. All right. Listen. I don't know how to say it. You don't. It's one of those places that gets real fancy with the menu names, mm-hmm. where it's not just like a traditional. Like, I'll have the bacon and eggs with.
Yeah.
So they don't do that. They have these sentences or poems. So one of the things I wanted, it was good. It was like this vegetarian skillet.
Yeah.
Looked great, but it's not called that. It's called. This is a real thing. Do I look good in these pants? And I will not say it. I can't do it. I just can't bring myself to that level. So I point.
So what do you?
I just point.
Yeah.
I'll go with anything. I'm illiterate.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Call me whatever you want. I just go right here. And Heather's like, just order. My girl, she's like, you just say it. Come on. He's like, wait, what? Which one? I go, what is that thing? I'm just pointing. I'm like, what? I don't know. I can't. Yeah. And then of course, they're like, you want that? Do I look good at these pants? I'm like, oh, don't. I didn't even want to hear you say it. That's why I'm pointing. Don't ever want to hear this. Yeah. And that's just one out of 30 things.
They're all
like that. That one is particularly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's just all goofy stuff.
I don't blame you.
If the shoes fit or so, I don't know. It's all wacky, you know. So
I would go ahead and say, yeah, though. I think you look great in those pants.
They do.
They're nice. And I appreciate it. I lost so much weight because it was a vegetarian thing. So I lost all the weight. Hence, good looking good in the pants.
Yeah,
so.
I thought you looked different.
You know, there's places, they're not the only ones who pull this stunt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
moves
kind of
over
a corporate.
Miami.
Oh, man, that's Denny's. And
that's right.
I worked there for a while. And here's
worked
the thing.
At Denny's?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was.
We got to do a pod.
Yeah, we're going to do an episode. Talk. Yeah, it was that awful time that I think some people experience when you graduate college and you don't have a regular job yet. And I was just working at Denny's and living at my parents' house. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, I'm a little bit of an alarmist. I was like, well, I guess this is just what my life is. And then you'd see people, that would come in on the late shift and be like, dude, what's going on? I thought, I work at Denny's.
Yeah.
And I was like a busboy. It was.
And you wore your wrestling medals around your neck when you.
Sure.
Yeah, like
so you got to get tips.
All American.
You got to get tips. I worked at Denny's, but I don't think that's such a problem with Denny's because one, they were the first ones to do it.
Agreed.
And two, it's not all over their menu.
Right. It's a few
like
choice items.
I wear these, bird dog pants and they, all of them have like silly names, and some of them I don't want to repeat. Like, yeah, they're like a,
they're as dumb as the, do I look good in
dumber,
these pants?
Like, cause they're like work. A little like naughty, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh,
come
yeah.
on, man.
Yeah.
Can I just do it? I want the blue pants, not yeah. the whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they're trying to be real funny. Otherwise it's a good product and they're out of it a lot. By the way, Randyland is an art museum in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It I'm is looking real. At, yeah. And it's got a 4.7.
It's got a 4.7 Google rating, which is, man, what do you guys say if you're on the road and you're going to go somewhere to eat? You've never been there before. What's your range?
I don't look that closely. I kind of, I go with my gut more than I do the reviews.
Yeah, I'm with Tim, but ever since going with Greg, I think cuts it off. And what's it? What's the minimum? 4.3 for you? 4.2?
4.2, 4.3, I think is, yeah, if I've never been there before,
yeah.
I'm not probably walking in anything under a 4, and I'd prefer it 4.3 and above. Same for hotels.
I agree with hotels. Yep.
4.2, 4.3.
Yep.
Is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So a 4.0, you're looking at the next place.
4.0, I'm not walking because if it's between that and another one, I'm going all right. I'm going to take a look around at 4.0. Sometimes 4.0 is all you can get.
My old apartment complex, which all remain nameless, has a 1.4.
No.
Out of like 70 reviews.
Is that the one that you lived in with Josh or the one before that? The
one before that where you blew your horn. Yeah, man. Guy almost got me evicted. And just Greg, you know, look at it. I mean, his face just says it all. He's picking me up. We're doing a road. This is years ago. We're going out on the road. And I'm like, hey, man, I'll be right out. He's parked in front of my apartment. And just for no reason, just 2 p.m, apartment of 25, 30 people in it, he just blasts the horn. Mm. And I mean, leans on it. Like, not just, times that by 40 seconds. And then, of course, my landlord, like, she runs a check. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? You know him? And I'm like, I don't know. He's got mental problems. He just got his license. He gets confused.
He just got his license.
Because she was crazy. I didn't want to get her sour. Yeah. She was always, like, throwing down the law against people. So, and then great. He just loved it. And then we just got in the car. He's like, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, real
and
proud
we just
of
we just went to the gig.
Oh, you were furious, though, man.
Yeah, as I should be.
Usually, Sean, you know.
I could take it pretty well.
Yeah, but he was screaming. He was, what are you doing, man? Yeah.
If somebody pulled in your driveway, Tim, and just blasted the horn for a minute straight, you'd be a little like.
I wouldn't do it because he's got a sleeping child, usually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I am pretty cool about.
All right. So you have kids.
Whenever there's kids, man, under 5.
Yeah.
Like I try not to ring his doorbell sometimes unless I know they're up. I knock not lightly on the door.
Under 5.
Well, does your doorbell work?
It's not very loud.
Okay.
And it's more upstairs. The way it's placed is more upstairs, which is obnoxious. So it is.
Yeah.
It works, but not very well.
Yeah, I've sat out there for 30 minutes.
Oh no! I knew you were there that day. I just working great that
just
day.
Said go away.
Yeah. Just right. Kind of keeping my fingers crossed there.
So you happy with your shirt, man?
Yeah, you know. I'll be honest. Awesome. What's the guy's name?
Michael McDonald.
How Michael. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have a. I'm broken in the brain. I do like it. I'll be honest. I thought it was a Bills shirt for a second. I was like, I'm gonna get more. Man. Like I saw the blue, and I'm like, wait a minute, is it happening? More Bills gear? I appreciate it, Mikey. I'll wear it, buddy, and I'll. People will stare at me and ask questions.
Do you think people are gonna think that's like a Bible?
I was just gonna say that we gotta make shirts that say Sean 390, like it's a Bible verse.
Sean 390. That's fantastic.
Book of Sean. We got to do that.
Yeah. Chapter 1, Why and Logic.
Yeah.
That might be just the, right that might the be. Gate. We're looking at, we're real close to having consumers' t-shirts made up.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking about replacing the logo with just Sean 390.
I dig it, man.
Can you talk to Adrian and get Sean 390 shirts, please?
The question is, will they buy it?
Yeah, they will.
Even Randy got in on that.
Randy,
he's like, they'll pay. Just keep doing dumb stuff, and we'll keep printing on a shirt.
You can't top that one.
That is,
I mean, you can't top that one.
I know, man.
Sean 390. Can we get send us a note or go on the consumers of fan page on Facebook and let us know if you're interested in a Sean 390 t-shirt. I did have somebody wanted to send us something, and Tim, I don't know if you'll get this in comments. And we do have a P.O. box now.
Oh, good. So, yeah, that, I did have that.
It's 101 West Argonne, Argonne Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. And it is number 158, P.O. box number 158.
That is great.
So people can send us stuff. Don't send anything crazy. Yeah. No.
What would be crazy? What are you concerned, yeah,
live animals, concerned about? Oh. Live animals, ammunition, any firearm.
If you want to send me ammunition, send me don't, ammunition.
Don't say this. Illicit drugs, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Right. And what would you encourage them to send?
I don't know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to encourage anybody. People have reached out, like, we want to mail you a letter, right, or we want to mail something to you.
Right.
So you can.
Okay.
Okay. But, I mean, obviously I don't want any Skippy, Peter Pan.
No.
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have mentioned
that. You, by saying that, now it's so going funny to happen. Yeah. By the way, our fat friend Bob Biggerstaff sent me a 5-gallon, they're not 5-gallon, whatever, big tub of Skippy.
5 gallons, huh?
I don't know. Not 5 gallons.
Do you know how big gallons is?
It's about 390, isn't it?
5 liters? Yeah, it's like 390. It isn't 5 gallons, I promise you. But whatever the largest size you can buy.
Gallon is about...
It's a gallon. It was 128 ounces.
128 ounces is a gallon. I remember that from Crisco oil. We had 128 ounce Crisco oil. That's pretty much the only thing.
Yeah, just picture a gallon of milk.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Usually what you're getting is a 1/2 gallon, right? Of milk.
Is that right? I don't.
You can get a half.
Because it's
half. The gallon is the thing, right? Or is it?
Well, gallon's the one with the clear handle.
The big thing with the handle is a gallon.
Is a gallon, yeah.
The more round one.
Correct.
Is that a gallon? Half gallon is a bit of a skinny guy, but then a more round one.
Okay,
is
I got you. Gallon of milk. I don't drink milk. Don't care for it.
Me either.
What about almond milk? Play with that?
No.
Pretty fun.
I do.
Tim loves it.
As an ingredient or something. I do. Actually, if I'm baking, I'll use milk, but... Let's get to our brand of the... What, you got a problem?
No, bacon brag. I like
I didn't get to finish my Bob story.
Oh, yeah. Bob sends you five
to brand of the week. Troll. That's it. Now you blew it. You blew it. No. You want to play games?
I can't get the Bob story.
Game over. Blew it. Blew it.
5 gallons of...
He acts like I'm the guy who's like a big Jif guy. So he just thought it was great to send me this wooden spoon. And it turns out the idea was to give it to Greg, because if he sent it to Greg... Greg would have obviously thrown it in the trash.
Oh.
So there we
Skippy,
go.
I would. Yeah.
So, or maybe I could, it is Skippy.
Yeah,
it
I would have Skippy. Peanut butter.
Maybe I could send that to a fan. Somebody want a gallon of Skippy?
Send it right back.
No, that's not coming from anybody on this podcast.
No, that's where it promotes the enemy.
Yeah, come on, man. Show some respect.
I'll be honest, man. I actually had some. It's not good.
Nah, man.
I can honestly say it is not as good as
Jif. Right behind you, buddy. Yeah. No, take a jar.
When there was that Jif shortage, or Greg doesn't like to talk about it.
When they poisoned everybody?
That's when I realized how superior Jif really is. What? I'm being positive. I'm just saying. That was the moment for me where I realized I'm never messing with anything else. I took it for granted, the Jif.
Did Ludo ever have a bad performance or a dark time in the band that you would probably not want me to bring up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well. I'm not gonna because I've got class.
Positive. Silver lining. I'm saying it was the absence of Jif that made me realize how much I appreciated it.
I see what you're saying.
It's a good thing. This is a pro Jif moment.
I'll allow it.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Randy, did you ever have when you had a falling out with Greg Allman? You know? Not gonna bring that up.
Did I ever what? I'm sorry.
Did you have a falling out with Greg Allman? What ended you
in? What ended
you and Greg Allman's son? Why did that break up?
Sometimes, man, things just run their course.
You know? I hear you.
And you've collaborated with Michael McDonald's son as well, or no?
No.
Okay.
Never met him.
Let me ask you a question.
I would say maybe my first favorite character on this podcast now is Michael McDonald Tim. It is.
Michael McDonald.
Venezuelan?
Yeah. Replaced Venezuelan Tim. Wow. I love Venezuelan Tim, but you never do it.
Yeah.
I've asked you to do it, and you just won't do it. I want it to be a thing.
I'm precious with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little too precious.
I got to keep one more. And I got to wait till I launch the...
Speaking of precious, Sean, could you do a precious impression?
My my question for you.
No, we'll get to Venezuela.
She does have a very, like, that actor has a very distinctive way of speaking, right?
Gabrielle Sidibe, is that her name?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but yeah. I'd like to see somebody do a precious impression.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Skippy calls up and they go, "We love the podcast. We want to sponsor it."
$50,000
How much? No way. He wouldn't do it for
no
that.
No way for $50,000
For a year. He wouldn't do it.
$50,000 for a year?
No, I'm asking you, what's your number?
I don't have a number.
There's got to be a number.
There's not a number.
Nah, he's lying. Everybody's got a price. Skippy.
Yeah, I'm not like you guys.
No, everybody's got a price.
I'm not like you guys.
There's probably just a cartoonish number that would never happen, but there is a number. If Skippy's like, "We'll give you $1 million to read an ad for 52 weeks, he's doing it.
$100,000 for the year. For the year. Say where the consumer is brought to you by Skippy.
Definitely Dude, are you insane?
$500,000
$500,000
You would do it.
Maybe that stays up though, and that stays up.
We're keeping Jeff up on a Skippy read.
Yes,
Skippy's fine. Skippy's fine with it.
Yeah,
Skippy's fine.
You
with
want me
it.
To read an ad? I would probably allow you guys for $500,000 I'd allow Randy to read the ad. Okay, off camera. All right, and the GIF stays up.
And the podcast is called Skippy Presents
No,
what's your number?
No, there's not a number, man. Some of us can't be bought, okay?
I'm not saying I can be. I'm just curious to know what yours is.
Yeah.
He's got a number. He's just staying loyal.
I know, because everything's about money with you, but it's
not about money with me at all.
There's a number.
I mean, if you're telling me, let's just say they $1 million for the year, they'll pay us $1 million to do 52 reads, and you're telling me he's going to balk at that? He would have to go to a
The only problem, I think, is I feel like maybe... Well, I think Nate would back me on that. I think Nate would back me and say no.
But I'm asking you. If it came down to you, I'm asking you what your number is. How much, just to wear a Skippy t-shirt every single week, how much would you want?
No. Here, let's do this a different way.
How much would you want?
How much to wear a New England Patriots shirt?
Oh.
Boy, that's a great question.
Yeah.
There's a number.
I respect what you're doing.
You see?
You know,
sure.
I do.
Now you know how I feel.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I do too. What's your number?
Well, I mean,
you gotta understand, man. Like, I'm poor. Like, I'll just openly say it. So,
yeah,
I'd probably say $10,000
$10,000? You're gonna wear a Patriots t-shirt?
Yeah, man, that helps me. I need it. I can put it towards new camera.
Your number is lower than that.
Oh, by the way, do I have to say nice things about him?
No, yeah. You're just wearing New England's Patriot gear.
Yeah, no, and then I'll just promote the Bills.
How about the Chiefs?
Oh, the Chiefs. I'll need $10 million
Oh, I hate that much more. Chiefs. Yeah, I would not want to wear that.
I thought I hated the Patriots. See, the Patriots are kicking a man when you're down. The Patriots are like the worst team in the NFL. $10 million.
Chiefs?
$10 million, and I don't say a word about them.
No.
I'm just going to say.
You got to wear a Chiefs jersey, and you gotta sit here with Rafe and Tina talking about how much they love the Chiefs.
For how long? An hour?
An hour.
$5 million. $5 million.
Yeah.
And I will talk all day. And then I'll go buy a suite at Highmark Stadium for the next 2 seasons.
That's a good way to look at it.
All right. It's time to get to the brand. We are the consumers.
What are we talking today?
A brand every week. And this one's especially for you, buddy. Today we are talking about Otis Elevators.
Oh, boy. Woo!
We're going a little off the beaten path.
Way off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Now, usually we have a graphic or we have a product that we can put on the table. Yeah. I looked at getting an elevator to put on the table.
Sure.
It was cost prohibitive.
No, right?
Yeah, we couldn't do it.
See, we should take that Skippy money.
Tim's right, man.
Elevators
do a Skippy
raid,
and then we could have two of them. Mm-hmm.
We're not doing it.
So this is real, by the way, because people are like, "Nah, what's the brand?"
No,
this
brand
is not a gag.
Otis Elevators.
Yes.
And it's actually Otis. Some interesting stuff here. And just for background, Sean has a terrible phobia of elevators. He hates them. On some occasions, he has said, "I won't get on an elevator unless it is Otis."
I would be more inclined to ride if it's an Otis. Yeah, sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes you have no choice where it's like you got to ride the elevator because you can't use the fire escape. They don't want you to use, you know, like at certain hotels, you hit the stairwell, the alarm will go off. And they're like, "No, you can't. Unless there's a fire." I'm like, "Well, start a fire."
I've seen him walk
I
up like,
wanna...
start a fire.
I've seen him walk up like 12 flights of stairs because he didn't want to go on the elevator.
18's my record. I did 18 once with luggage.
I'll forget.
With luggage.
Wow. Sometimes he has that. And then next thing I know, I'm just in an elevator with him. And I look over and he's sweating.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot.
And I'll admit, it's so irrational. It's just, I don't know. To even make sense of it will never make sense. I just hate them. I hate being closed because that thing is going to get stuck. And then I'm just going to, the unknown of, well, it'll open. See, some people, you guys get stuck in an elevator. You'll just be like, ah. Like, you're probably stuck in traffic. You probably have the same level of aggravation. You're just like, ah, this is annoying. But you'll wait. And you'll like, you'll just know that eventually this thing's going to open.
Have you ever been stuck in one?
Yes!
For how long?
Once.
25 minutes.
Oh.
And the only reason.
I did 45 one time.
Oh.
Solo.
L.A.? When you were out in California?
No. My, when I first moved back to St. Louis, my apartment building, it woke up early for radio. It was probably 5 a.m. And it was stuck. You hit the button.
So you go in, the door's shut. You hit the button.
Hit the button. And I don't, I've never hit the button before. I don't know what's going to happen. And it goes to the, what do you call him?
Like 911 type thing?
Superintendent. Is that what you call him? The guy that, who I know. And it's just, he goes, hello? Like, and I was like, that's my guy.
That Venezuelan Tim?
No.
It does sound a lot like Venezuelan Tim. Yeah.
He was one of my influences for.
What if Michael McDonald was your super?
He just said, Lamo be there, and then he would have got me out of there.
Yes. That's it.
So anyway, it's him, and I go, I was like, hey, and he, and I was like, stuck in the elevator. He's like, it'll be, you know, he's like 45 minutes. And I go, well, I got to get to work. And he's like, I can call the fire department. And I was like, all right, I'll wait. And then it ended up kicking in before he even got there. But yeah, it was not good.
That's not good.
My cell phone worked, though, so that was
good. Month off the rent or something like that?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't in any kind of danger.
What would you have negotiated out of that situation?
$30 million. The terror of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The trauma I'd have. I'd call Jay immediately and be like, we're going to shoot for the stars. Mm-hmm.
Jay Kanzler, the official attorney of the Consumers Podcast.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Jay means business.
You want to mess with us, you talk to Jay first.
You get Otis, stuck, Greg?
Otis World.
Sorry.
I don't believe I have.
Okay. That's all I wanted to make sure.
They are the world's largest manufacturer of vertical transportation. That includes elevators, escalators, and moving walkways. I don't think they're into pogo sticks yet.
Yeah.
But
it's an interesting space.
You would think you'd get in there.
Vertical transportation. That's great.
And I don't think they own the just jumping up and down without a pogo stick. That was the band Criss Cross, actually.
Sure. Jump.
Sure.
Yeah.
Legal battle with Van Halen, but they got through it. What about parachutes? Are they in the parachute game?
I don't think that so. Well, you got to know. These guys, they go up and down.
Okay.
They go up and down.
There's parachutes.
Hot air balloons? Hot air balloons might have something.
Here's the thing, man.
There's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, parachutes just go down.
Right.
If they go up, probably something bad is happening. Probably, yeah. Hot air balloons mostly go up. They do eventually come down. But
right.
There's not a lot of up and down. Right. I would say they're the largest manufacturer of oft-repeated vertical transportation.
Yeah.
They go up and down quite a bit.
I'd buy that.
Now, elevators, sort of platforms moving up and down, have been around for a long time. It goes all the way back to the BC times in Greece. Archimedes, you've heard of him.
Sure.
Archimedes had some device that went up and down. The Roman Colosseum, if you remember, they'd be out there fighting and a tiger would just come out from underground and just start attacking them. Mm-hmm. And then, so that was around. And then Louis the 15th, the king of France, he had a couple of things. He had what's called the flying chair. Basically, it was sort of an elevator that would go to his bedroom, and it was for his mistresses. Yeah. He was a philanderer of sorts. Then he also had the flying table, where he didn't want the servants around him when they were serving meals or whatever. So they basically had this thing where they just set the table and put all the food on it, and then it would just come up into his dining room.
They're probably like, good? This
yeah,
is great. I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with
pretentious clown.
Yeah.
I like that flying table.
Yeah.
That'd be a good theme restaurant. Call it the flying table.
Call it the flying table. Yeah. Have it come up. It's probably the build out would be extremely expensive on that deal.
You're right.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it either. Then you could have like the wacky names at the flying table.
Oh, yeah.
No. You don't like these.
I don't, but to run, if you're going to have the flying table, you might as well be like, you know, folding chairs or fun omelet or something.
Yeah. What did you call it?
Folding chairs or fun omelet. Didn't roll off the tongue.
Randy, write that down.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Do not write that down. So.
I've been thinking about chairs a lot. I want to address it in my next hour. Mm. And the folding chair, since you mentioned it, I'm always, I don't know. I don't like them because if you see, if there's one folding chair, there's usually going to, there's never two folding chairs. There's usually 300 folding chairs and somebody's got to put them up and somebody's got to take them down. Yeah. And I just, no matter what event I'm at, I feel like somebody's be like, hey, Greg, can you hang back for a second and help us with these chairs?
You're right,
like,
man.
I just, cause you know, like, especially when you're like in your 20s and there's a wedding or something. It's like, yeah. Tim, Sean,
yeah.
You guys hang out afterwards. We're going to need somebody to take the chairs in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just stack them. It's real easy. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not fun.
Yeah, there's only
giant dolly that you put them on. Yes. They get all messed up.
The hook.
Yeah, and then if one is crooked, then it just
start over.
Downward spiral. Yeah.
Start over.
Yeah.
The first manufacturer of some sort of moving platform in the U.S. appears to have been Henry Waterman in New York. The first patent for a vertical railway, in quotes, was filed in 1859 by a guy named Otis Tufts. This is not the Otis.
Oh, okay.
This is first name Otis. Mm-hmm. Otis Tufts. He was an engineer, and he had something. I think it was in New York's Fifth Avenue Hotel. He put something in there. Come along, Elisha Otis. Mm. Elisha Otis is the central character. He's a Vermonter. He was a Vermonter. It says here, as a young man, he tried his hand at several careers, all with limited success. You don't want to hear that from a guy building elevators.
He's bombing.
You don't want to hear like, yeah, he messed up a lot of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Just couldn't really find his way.
Couldn't get a car going to save his life.
Yeah. But in 1852, he invented the safety elevator. Now, this is the thing. There were elevators. There were things going up and down, carrying people, some of them fairly ornate, but he was the one to invent the safety elevator. He goes to this thing called the Exhibition of Industry of All Nations. It was a World's Fair of sorts. It may have just been a World's Fair. It was in New York. They had one in London that was tremendously successful. They did one in 1853 in New York, and there was this thing called the Crystal Palace, and that's where it was sort of headquartered. And that was in what is now known as Bryant Park in New York City.
Sure, yeah.
Awesome place in New York City, great. Sort of midtown. If you're going to NYC and you haven't been there before, go to Bryant Park. It's like just far enough from Times Square that's removed some of the nonsense, but it's
very
really
close.
Cool. It's very cool. Anyways, that thing didn't do so well the first year in 1853. So they hired P.T. Barnum. Of Barnum and Bailey Circus.
No kidding.
Yeah, they hired him to sort of prop it up. So in 1854, he retools it, and they have like a re-inauguration. And he got our man, Elisha Otis, involved. He paid him $100 to show his safety elevator.
So Barnum is there just kind of as a marketing guy? Like, hey, we need a little pizzazz here to get the word out?
Yeah, nobody's coming to our World's Fair. We got to make this thing bigger and better.
He's like, have you tried Tigers?
Yeah.
He's like, I can get a clown juggle in there.
Tigers.
How many clowns do you think I could fit in that thing?
So Otis, what he does is he, back then the elevators were, it was all ropes and pulleys. Mm-hmm. So he gets up there on his elevator, on his platform, and he takes an axe and he chops the rope. Okay. And he goes down about a foot, and the brake stops it.
Mm.
He has this thing that, like, that's why people are terrified of elevators, you know, that the rope breaks, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to fall to your death. And he goes, all good. See this?
Showmanship.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, pretty awesome. Like, it was a good thing, and nobody cared that much.
Mm.
Yeah, it didn't blow people away at the time. And he was not like in the greatest location. He was in the machine arcade, and he was next to a whaling harpoon and a cigar rolling machine.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad for him because this is probably like you guys might have felt this at a comedy show or at a concert where you thought you really nailed it, you know. And he's probably like, yeah, I killed it. The orders are going to come rolling in. He's probably walking out just among everybody that evening, and he hears some guy goes, Did you see that cigar rolling machine? No, that was awesome. And now it just rolls them up. He's like, what about that? Nah, you talking about the whaling harpoon? Mm-hmm. No, man, I did the thing. I don't remember it.
Harpoon is so, I would never want to go against the harpoon. That's like when you go into town and you find out like somebody incredible's at the other comedy club. And it's like, well, they're all going to go see the harpoon.
They're going to go see the harpoon. Yeah. No, they're actually, there's a comic out of Detroit named Harpoon. And this
guy is good. Yeah. He peaked in the 90s, but he's still good, no, man.
Peaked? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his valley.
His popularity.
His valley is much higher than any of our peaks.
Yep.
Flowing like a harpoon daily and nightly.
You don't want to follow Harpoon. So in 1857, they put one of these in a store. Eventually, it got things going.
Yeah.
It was in E.V. Howitt department store in New York, and it only lasted 3 years because the customers just wouldn't use it. It was powered by a steam engine back then, and it traveled 40 feet per minute. Which is not very fast.
No.
Right now they go 40 feet per second.
And for most people, you're just like, there's stairs, right? I understand.
Yeah.
And if you're in a position where you can't walk or that's difficult, then you're probably not in a position to be excited to get into a box like that. So I get, and I'm sure just with a lot of technology today where they come out with something, you're like, do we really need this? I'm sure that was a lot of people's reaction. Like, there's stairs, guys. Everything's fine.
Yeah, the earlier ones were more like sort of a gimmick. Like, hey, come to our department store because we have... And they were ornate. They had, chandeliers, sofas, carvings and moldings of French walnut and ebony. And they had elevator operators that wore, gloves and stuff. So it was kind of a big deal.
That's cool.
Eventually, he got things going. People started seeing this is the way. And they said the elevators transformed real estate in America. So
I believe that.
Back in the day, the cheapest rent you could get was on the top floor. Nobody really wanted to be up there because you got to walk up.
Yeah.
At the time, probably not more than about 6-7 flights of stairs. So that nobody wanted to go up there.
No.
And now it's the penthouse. It's where you go because of the elevator.
Yep.
And it's you're away from all the smells of the street and it's airy up there. You know, there's probably some guy at one point when they put the elevators in, some poor guy that lived up there that was like, actually, it's pretty awesome up there. You don't smell anything. And somebody's like, would you just shut up, Bob?
Yeah.
You're going to tell them all and they're going to kick the poor people out. Shut your mouth. Otis died in 1861. He didn't really get to see his invention flourish.
Man.
And he left the business to his sons, Norton and Charles, and they split the duties of the business. Mm-hmm. Norton was up, Charles was down. But Norton took promotion and Charles ran the factory.
Hmm.
Let's see here. There's some things that went on. The 8-story, 130-foot Equitable Life building in downtown Manhattan, completed in 1870, was the first office building to feature elevators from the design stage. It was built by Otis. They had moved on to hydraulics from steam. Basically, it went steam, hydraulics, and then later electricity. And then I think there's somebody messing with magnets somehow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nowadays?
Yeah, not like refrigerator magnets, but, a little more powerful.
Heavy duty.
Yeah.
Electromagnets?
It could be.
That freaks me out.
Could be. The increasing value of land in New York City drove developers to build higher and higher. Also, the Chicago fire happened in 1871, which, by the way, it's horrible things happening in Los Angeles. A lot of us have friends out there in LA. Fires
just
decimating parts of the city. But the fire in Chicago basically wiped out the whole downtown.
Yeah.
So they were able to rebuild a lot of stuff, and they put elevators in at that time.
Mm.
They built up. They, it's like there's all this real estate. And before you couldn't go over about 6 floors because nobody's going to walk up 130 floors. Now,
no problem.
Sean would do it. You've 18's your limit, buddy. 1900, there was a guy named Jesse Reno that in, well, 1895, sorry, 1900 is when they showed it in Paris. But Jesse Reno developed the escalator, the moving stairs, and that was it was a ride at Coney Island.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't see how that could have been all that fun of a ride. But
totally.
I guess it could have been novel. Maybe something that you do on the way.
Pretty cool to see. But yeah. I mean, escalators still are a little bit disorienting. So when they came out, it had to be very.
Oh, yeah, you're like, right. It probably was like, wait a minute, I can go to here to
what
here.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah. But I hope you're getting something else.
Right.
I hope that wasn't the coolest ride there.
Yes. Or that there's a reward at the top of the escalator.
Like a clown giving out candy or something.
Just something. Just something.
Led Zeppelin
incentive mirrors. To get them up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a guy named Seeberger that also sort of helped improve the escalator. And then our boy Otis bought him out.
Mm.
Yeah. Otis's
the kids.
Kids. They bought him out. Mm. If you're going up and down, they're going to make sure they get a piece of it.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
Alexander Miles first to open, have an elevator where it opens and closes its own doors.
Oh, cool.
They automatically open and close. You can thank Miles for that, Sean. First double decker at 70 Pine Street in New York City. That's
what
does
that mean?
Two elevators stacked on top of each other. So really, if you want to go to odd floors, you got to start at the bottom elevator. If you want to go to even floors, you got to start at the top elevator.
Seems inefficient, right? I mean,
I've seen it in movies, I think, but yeah, it seems a little weird.
Yeah, so if you're on an even floor and want to go to odd, you'd have to go up or down to an odd floor.
Yeah, yeah.
You just couldn't get, it could stop, it could put you at any floor, but you couldn't, if you were in the top car, you couldn't go to the bottom. And if you were in the bottom, you couldn't go to the top, right? So if you're the only person in it, regardless of which car you were in, you could hit all the ones in the middle.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a math problem that I'm not sure I'm equipped to do.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's easy. Yeah. It just would be, how do you run that thing?
I know, but I'm in a loop right now. I'm stuck. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
In the elevator.
Yeah. I like this. Otis was, he's pretty proud that he was the safe elevator. In his catalogs, he implied that buying any other brand amounted to criminal recklessness and wholesale manslaughter.
Wow.
So, in the catalog. It's like, if you decide you want to get another elevator, you're guilty of killing people.
Wholesale manslaughter.
Randy,
you played bass in Wholesale Manslaughter for a couple albums, didn't you?
His first band.
Okay.
And let me tell you something, as a guy that was in sort of the business, man. If you're going to get manslaughter, buy it wholesale. It's going to.
If you're paying retail.
You do not want to pay retail for manslaughter.
Insane.
This was interesting to me. They had a little bit of a problem. Things slowed down in the 50s for Otis and a lot of the elevator companies, especially Otis, because these new cities in the West and the South started popping up, like Phoenix, Dallas, Los Angeles, Atlanta, and they were more spread out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like everything's downtown and we're going to build a bunch of skyscrapers. So they were sort of, and Otis didn't play in the 4-to-5-floor elevator game. Like, he's not putting his stuff in at like a Holiday Inn Express, man. Otis was kind of like, 30 floors are nothing, basically.
Interesting. Is that still the case with their business?
I don't know that.
No, Sean, they have 3 floors.
They do.
They do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I've seen them in Courtyard Marriotts, things like that. So.
Okay.
By the way, man, there has to be just great cost disparity in elevators.
Good
because
call.
It's insane. Like, I was at the Mohegan Sun, and I was staying, I think, on the 18th floor or something. And, I mean, I hit that 18, and I was up there in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Express car?
It's just a regular elevator. I'll stay in a Holiday Inn Express, and I'm on the 3rd floor, and it takes about 40 seconds to get. I mean, they're so slow.
Yeah.
I'm not just picking on Holiday Inn Expresses. Any of those, Hilton Garden Inn, which all hotels that I actually enjoy staying at, Courtyard by Marriott, they're so slow.
Well, they can't get any momentum. That's probably why. You're on the first floor.
No, I think there's probably.
Are you
going to
super fly up to the third?
Maybe it is the case. So you think that those big ones, they're going just as slow from 1 to 4, but then they get going. I think there's some machinery. I bet you it's like insanely cheaper to put an elevator in at the Holiday Inn Express than it is at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Man,
well, yeah, of course. I mean, you're covering less floors at Holiday. But what I'm saying is you go 1 to 3 or as opposed to 1 to 40, It's not like if you're in Greg's, if you're in a 40 store flight, it's not going to just go, you get in and just go, shh. It's not going to like propel it, rocket you up. Correct. There's a little slow roller, I think.
I don't know,
and then,
man. Yeah. I mean, it felt like I was being rocketed up. I think you're wrong. Yeah. I think it's like, hey man, Mohegan Sun, I paid for a couple of elevators on the tables. They have so much money. They're just going to put in. Yeah. We can afford a one that we got to get Greg down here quicker so we can just put more money on Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Yep, there's a fireman's pole for if too if you want to.
Oh yeah,
they just want to get you down there, get that money.
Another key feature in elevators is the governor, a device that controls the elevator speed. If an elevator starts moving too quickly,
you know what they call that in England?
What's that, governor? I'll tell you where I appreciate a governor in an elevator. I do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where I do not appreciate a governor.
It's the state level?
Go-kart tracks.
Oh,
I don't like that at all, man. You let me go. Let me fly, man.
I'm never going on go-karts with you again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we almost died.
Yeah.
Could have been killed.
Greg at a go-kart track is a bad – we don't have to get into the whole thing, but I sustained an injury that to this day I can feel. That was how many – I mean, that was 6, 7 years ago.
8.
And to this day, there's a tender part of my leg that hurts because of Greg being reckless on the go-kart track.
I put him in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, he puts people in the walls for some reason, man. He enjoys it.
Yeah.
It's racing.
You can tell.
It's racing.
Yeah, exactly. It's racing. It's not putting people in the wall. That's the problem.
I got him back, though.
He did, man. Yeah. He sent me so dumb.
So we left. I was like, it was borderline whether I should go to the hospital or not. I chose not to. We all left, went our separate ways. And an hour later, I just Googled a broken leg x-ray.
It was the most, I freaked out. I was like, good God, I'm sorry, buddy.
Immediately.
I'm so sorry. It was like, it was a complete clean break, though. It was like a cartoon.
Severed.
It's like somebody broke a chicken bone or some wishbone.
Oh, dude, I remember that, man. That was great, man. You should have said it after 24 hours. Make him sweat for a day.
He felt so bad.
I felt terrible, man. Guy got me
not
good.
As bad as my leg felt bad.
I know.
It hurt. That's a brilliant move, man. It hurt. What a move.
I'm hopping around here, but in the 1920s and 30s, they came up with a pretty good idea. It was one of the employees were like, why don't we service the elevators too? Like, we're just selling these elevators. Why don't we also be the ones that fix them?
Yeah.
Because it was like farmed out to like 10,000 people. And Otis was like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
And they make a bunch of money on service.
Because otherwise, who's fixing them? A like auto mechanic or something?
Yeah, you go to, go down to.
I don't see that going well.
Steve's garage.
Yeah.
You call him up. You guys do elevators?
Yeah.
I mean, we can.
Yeah. He's like, I think it's the transmission. It's an elevator. We can.
I'm sort of stealing from my buddy Henry Phillips, who's a friend of all of ours and one of my favorite comics and human beings. But he told me this story where he walked into this diner and late at night, and he goes, hey, you guys, you got pizza? He goes, I can make you a pizza. He goes, that's not what I asked. That's not what I asked. I didn't ask that.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. In 2017, German engineering company ThyssenKrupp unveiled a new elevator design called Multi Krupp. That uses magnets instead of ropes. Again, not like the alphabet magnets on your refrigerator, Tim.
But a magnet is a magnet.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a real question.
Yeah.
How come when the people get on that elevator and they hit the button, all their jewelry doesn't fly up to the top of the...
This is a real answer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a good question.
Right? I mean, that isn't crazy. All your change just shoots out of your pocket.
Well, maybe you're nervous because if Emma's going to know it's fake jewelry that you've been giving her.
Oh, yeah.
It's not real metal.
I'm saving a fortune, though.
It's a hemp ring that you got.
Got it at Claire's.
She has an innate ability to sniff the fake stuff out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Emma can find the financial value of any item pretty quickly. So can your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tim's mom helped me decorate or furnish my my condo, and she has a way of finding the most expensive stuff.
Basically, Greg was going to say, let's just use raw numbers, was going to spend $2,000, and then he got Tim's mom, and he spent $22,000.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, the numbers.
Looks great,
but it looks good. Looks I was great. Over there today, man. I'm very, very proud of him. He really stepped up.
Yep.
Place is nice.
Yeah. And when we plug gigs at the end of the episode, you need to come to those to help me pay
for it. Yeah, please.
Now there's other brands of elevators. Some are
that one you just
Schindler.
Made. Yep.
Schindler. Okay.
Kone. So. Hyundai. You heard of them? Mitsubishi. ThyssenKrupp. The one I was talking about.
That one
about.
I do see, yeah.
Now listen, Sean.
Dude, Mitsubishi elevator, I'm walking. I mean, I'm walking probably no matter what.
Listen. I did some digging around.
Throw it to me.
There are some authorities that say a Mitsubishi and a Schindler is better than an Otis.
In what sense? What do you mean better? Better in terms of what? Getting stuck? Faster ride? Fewer issues?
Issues, yeah.
That's what they're saying, man. I would guess that's what it is. It's not that like they're the most colorful or something, you know.
I mean, yeah, they probably have fewer issues, but they also don't have as many elevators.
You think they would take that into
I don't know if they did, man.
Listen, that's I'm just I'm saying it was a elevator authority said that they ranked Otis, I think, 3. Yeah, man.
All right, man.
Mitsubishi, buddy.
I mean, did you guys ever remember even your lifetime seeing a Mitsubishi elevator?
Otis wasn't even was something I was familiar with until you started talking about it. And
Otis
then
I looked,
I left the morning show today and I looked there and it's a Schindler, which I hadn't heard of. Schindler. But also, like, if you already have anxiety about walking into, you know, it's a little.
You're talking about the.
I'm just saying it's not a typical.
We're
going to
make Holocaust.
Positive. No, it's not. That is not. That's not that joke.
Okay, but you were talking about that guy, right? Schindler's List?
Yeah, it's a okay. Negatively. I didn't make that joke. I could have made it.
Yeah. He didn't. Greg kind of reinforced though.
I wouldn't
that
do that.
For making it,
I wouldn't do that.
I'm calling him out as a scumbag.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Yeah. Okay.
I thought about it.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
You did too?
Yeah. And I chose not to.
I didn't do that joke.
Yeah.
I just said it's a negative connotation word.
All I have to that is Sean 390.
Yep, Sean 390. Randy, get the scissors out for this part. Let's go. But what were we talking about?
I think we're gonna
talking about brands of elevators.
Well, I knew. Never mind.
Now you ruined it.
Sean 390.
The whole report's ruined.
Yeah.
Thought we would talk a little about elevator music because that is a thing. People were sort of nervous about this new contraption, and they put like soothing music on in the elevator.
Stuff that Randy plays?
Became its own genre. No, man.
Using a few elevator.
Oh, man.
So
give them a plug.
The term elevator music, like people use it different ways, right? But for the most part, I mean, when you guys think of it, what do you think of?
No vocals.
Yep.
Yeah.
And typically songs that you know, right?
That's songs what I that you of. Know?
Yep.
Sort of a lot of Spyro Gyra, a lot of Chuck Mangione, but also like a song that does have vocals, but they just took the vocals out of it.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I think of too. Very chilled. The word chill would be a big part of it. So people also say Muzak, which is Muzak is a proper word, a company that did this thing that for the most part, was for the workplace.
Yes.
The whole story is this guy who's in the Army, General George Squire, he did communications and stuff in the Army, and he realized he found a method of transmitting information via electrical wires and realized it could be used to distribute music. So at the time, people were doing AM radio, which it wasn't very good, and it was expensive for people, and he kind of found this different way. He got a whole bunch of patents. They sold it to a company. That company then started Wired Radio Incorporated. The plan was to sell music subscriptions to the power company's existing utility customers. So music subscription, back then, that was their whole model, what they were thinking. Music subscription didn't really exist, except for when you'd get the CDs in the mail in the 90s.
Columbia. Loved it.
But now, that's the game. Whether it's Sirius XM or stuff like Spotify, Apple Music, I thought that was kind of interesting. So basically, this company spins off and becomes Muzak. So Muzak is kind of synonymous with elevator music, what we think.
Oh, my mother I just think of my mom saying Muzak so distastefully.
Yes.
Muzak garbage.
Yep. Yeah. People have strong, and they tried to get away. The company still exists, oddly enough, and they tried to get away from that. But this guy invents all this, and this guy, much like Otis, he died before he got to see what his invention became. But eventually it went big. What they found was this guy did all this research is that workers were more productive with specifically that type of music, you know, the chilled out, non-vocal. They did all this research and were like, it's making workers more productive, whether it's a factory or whatever kind of company
office,
it is.
Dental office, yeah.
That's what I associate it with 100%. Yeah. When I was a kid, getting my braces on is that sort of, you're like, oh, is this John Cicada? But it was like the chilled out version, like, you know, Kenny G type stuff.
John Cicada had a number one hit, didn't he?
Cicada had a couple bell ringers.
My love was still me wrong, do you believe in her?
What's the other one?
And then there was another one.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah.
Try to find the day without you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
another day.
Yeah.
Was he romantically involved with somebody famous?
He better be.
No, he was in the Miami Sound Machine.
With Gloria Estefan.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good stuff.
Randy, you played with Cicada.
He was in Cicada.
Yeah.
Played with Gloria Estefan.
Cicada. You were part of the machine.
Yeah, it was the machine.
Part of the machine. Anyway, the whole story with elevator music and Muzak specifically is really interesting. Broadcasting rights at that time were barely a thing. All music that you heard on the radio was being performed live. So there was no way to kind of go, okay, we want to put recorded music out into the public, but like, how did you do that? So they had to record their own music. So that's where a lot of this stuff happened. Some of it was original. There was one guy that they made the guy, right? And so he was just pumping out 15 songs a day with all these musicians in New York City.
Did any of the, like, become hits or any of these things that this guy made?
No, because they basically started covering, standard stuff. And it changed the way performing rights and broadcast, all that, the legal stuff behind all of it changed kind of because of Muzak. Anyway, so the company's going and it's working well, but then they start putting it in elevators, another place where you want people to calm down. Elevators, you know, even by this time, this is like 40s, 50s stuff. They were still... people had a lot of anxiety with it, so they used it, and people just started associating with that and calling it elevator music.
Yeah.
At one point, it was basically pumped through a phone line, a regular old phone line. And if you subscribed to it, if you bought the subscription, they started doing it in Ohio, I believe, and it was like $1.50 a month, right? And if you had the subscription, everybody got the same thing. And there was literally a person who had these records – and was playing the music, and then it would pump out through a regular old phone line to whoever subscribed anywhere in the country. And when that record was over, that person had to, as fast as they could, flip the thing over because hundreds, thousands, whatever it was, who had this subscription were listening to that.
Let me ask you this. So I'm living in Ohio in the 1940s,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to pay the $1.50 a month. How do I listen? I dial in on the phone?
I guess they come out there and they install something, but it's I mean, maybe you call a number and it just is playing that thing. But I guess they would come out and install something and then the same technology. Because back then I was thinking about like you had to call the operator and tell the operator where to put you through.
Yeah.
Right?
A switchboard. So
I assume it was just a line that was in there. You paid your subscription. You got the thing. But literally it was somebody like, okay, ready to turn the record off? And like, I'll grab it. You put the new one on because it was – going to places, you know, thousands of places all over the country.
You know, that guy probably at some point, he was a guy that wanted to be a DJ on regular radio.
Yeah.
And he started talking a little bit more. They're like, no, Ted, that's not what we hired you for.
Yeah.
Like, coming up next, it's going to be.
There's no, you're in an
super tramp.
You're in an elevator and some DJ, you're like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was their business. And so they had salespeople who were going to businesses, elevator, you know, buildings that had elevators and trying to sell it. Well, at one point, this is bananas, LBJ, Lyndon Johnson was a sales guy for one of these companies. and he sold a Muzak subscription to the White House, then occupied by Eisenhower.
Really?
Yep. He was in Austin, Texas. He sold Muzak Music Services to the White House while Eisenhower was in office.
That's pretty cool.
How crazy is that? So anyway, the thing blew up. It became, that's what people thought of when they thought of elevator music. And the company still exists. It's taken different forms, and they'll do different things too, where for your business, they'll do all your phone systems, the stuff like that. Like it's all kind of one thing because that's their model is getting those businesses.
Sean, is the music ever calm you down in an elevator?
I mean, let's be honest here, guys. I don't really think I hear music often in the elevator.
I don't think it's in there.
Can we just talk about that?
I don't think it's in there anymore.
I think, it used to be more offices, I think. Yeah.
I very much the orthodontist is what I associate it with. But back in the day, I do remember, and it feels like movies. Like, it even, some of the stuff I read, it's such a common thing you see in movies.
Oh, where, and it's like crazy action scene, and then they get in the elevator, it's like...
The elevator doesn't. It's like a very common.
And then they come back out, and it's more crazy. Yeah. That's a good scene.
Yeah, solid. I'll take that. I'll take that in any movie. And then, speaking of elevator music, there's a series online of bands doing performances while riding in an elevator. And one of the coolest ones is Arcade Fire. You guys know Arcade Fire?
Sure, I know them.
So they're in it. It's like an industrial elevator, and the whole band is in there, and they're playing. And have you seen this, Randy? You were in Arcade Fire for a minute. The drummer, instead of playing like a snare drum, he has a magazine, and every snare beat, he's ripping a page out of the magazine, and that becomes the snare sound.
That's pretty good.
You gotta watch it. It's cool, but it also gives you anxiety. You're like, how is he gonna? He's got to grip it every time. Yeah, sometimes he misses it, so he crumbles, and he just nails it. It's worth watching.
You think they're riding an Otis?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Let's
get to the bottom of that.
I got Otis vibes.
The other great question is which magazine?
Oh, that's a good question.
Somebody in that office wants to read the latest edition of Cosmo, and this guy's
like, no,
tearing it up.
Every beat. But it's worth checking out, Arcade Fire in an elevator.
Real quick, do you have a couple more fun facts?
Yeah, you want some fun facts?
Yeah. That was pretty fun right there.
That was a mini. It was an episode within an episode.
It was. I thought we could have done Muzak as an episode, but I liked it. I liked what you did there.
And there's even other stuff, other people that worked for them and other different developments. But we'll do some of these. The world's fastest elevator is in the Shanghai Tower, the second tallest building in the world. It travels 67 feet per second, also known as 46 miles an hour, and runs continuously through almost 2,000 of the skyscrapers, 2,073 feet.
That's cool. Shanghai.
All the time. Yeah, Shanghai. That's pretty cool. All right. I did kind of a deep dive on this. And I'm sure you guys have heard this, that the open the door button is a real thing, right? Yeah. So when the elevator's about to close, you hit that open button.
Yeah.
It goes open. There's also a close button door. And I'm sure you've heard, people will tell you, that it's not connected to anything. It's just a placebo, basically. It is in there to make to calm people, to make people feel better, or to make them feel like they have a little control in there. But they say that on most elevators, it doesn't do anything.
A placebo.
Wow.
And you said you did a deep dive, and that's true?
On most elevators, it is true. But here's the reason. I think if at some point, it did actually close the elevator. But there's the Americans with Disabilities Act, that set specific of all the things, regulations that businesses, any public place have to adhere to. One of them is those doors have to be open for, I think it's just like 3 seconds, pretty short. So therefore you can't put that button in. And some of the ones that do exist only kick in after that time because legally it can't do it. But for the most part, I mean, I think 80, 90% of them don't do anything.
Right.
Same with, I believe, crosswalk buttons.
What do you mean?
A lot of the crosswalk buttons, so like, hey, tell the light that you're coming and to turn to a walk sign, doesn't do anything.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. It's on a timer. Really? It's going to go and it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I could see that, man.
Yep. For someone who takes an elevator an average of 8 times a day, the chances of getting trapped in one are what? 8 times a day. No one's taken one 8 times a day.
8 times a day. So is this a work experience or home? 5 days a week?
Anything.
It doesn't matter. If you're, in an elevator 8 times a day.
Let me do the math. So you're basically going.
4 trips, let's call it.
56, so that's about 220 a month.
So you're going in. I'd say the chances of being stuck are 1 out of 78,000.
1 in 5,000 each month.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Each month.
So I can't. Oh, each month?
Way more than I
That's
would
even
thought.
Worse.
Yeah. Over 25 years, that goes down to 1 in 17, meaning it's somewhat likely for a city dweller to get trapped at least once in a lifetime. I've already gotten mine out of the way. He's gotten yours out of the way.
So you're good, buddy.
This doesn't work that way.
Are you crying?
I just got emotional hearing that data, you know, the stats.
Yeah.
Don't favor me.
Modern elevators are equipped with sensors that can detect seismic activity and automatically bring the elevator to the nearest floor, allowing passengers to exit before the shaking worsens.
So if there's an earthquake, it'll just dump you out.
Yep.
It'll get you to
the thing instead, yeah. Which is, yeah, I mean.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
If the comedian earthquake was walking by, would you think that would register?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of the technology.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just He's so good. I saw him double feature him and Harpoon together.
Earthquake does murder, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
And Harpoon is
that
good.
Guy.
Harpoon is good.
Harpoon.
He's not going on after Earthquake.
Harpoon can't follow Earthquake.
No, he cannot. You want to do some famous elevators?
Sure.
St. Louis Gateway Arch.
Familiar?
Right here.
Right here.
Designed by a college dropout. You've not been up in it, I assume, in the arch.
I went up, man.
You did.
What? Yeah, I had to take the Swedish girl up, man, 10 years ago.
And Isabel.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah, my mom did not like that thing. She was kind of claustrophobic, though.
It's a little wild. Ludo did it. We have a video.
Well, it's interesting how they seat you, too. It's not like, oh, there's plenty of room. Like, it's a zigzag. Like, there's five seats crisscross, and I mean, you use every square inch of those seats. I mean, it is so sardine packed.
People have no idea what we're talking about. The arch, monument in St. Louis, you can go up in it. A lot of people don't realize that. And it's an elevator, but it's a strange elevator, obviously.
Pods, yeah.
It's a pod that it's kind of going. It's not just vertical, obviously. It's going around that thing. It is a pod. Like Sean said, you're in there tight. People are facing each other. It's not the best.
Pretty cool when you get up there, though.
It is. It's awesome. The arch is awesome. And the museum at the bottom is awesome. But the pod experience can be a little rough.
Do it, though.
Do it.
Yeah. I mean, it is cool up there. It's a good view. But I think 4.5 minutes up, I mean, you gotta really be mentally prepared.
The Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas features a 29-degree incline up the pyramid in that hotel. I've done that one. Very famous. I hosted a game show that was in the Luxor, like you'd see it, and it was like, you know, we did different events throughout the Luxor, but that was one of the things. They made a big deal out of this.
Yeah, the current elevator. Game show that goes on in Luxor is Don't Get Mugged in the Parking Lot.
Sticking it to the Luxor.
I think Luxor's rough now.
It is?
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
I think Greg's right, man.
I nailed that game show.
Yeah, I think it's rough.
Yeah, it's too bad.
What are you talking about, game show? Why do we not know this?
This was a long, long time
Card
ago.
Card Sharks?
No.
Let's make a deal?
It was called Race Through the Pyramid, and it was
25,000
like
pyramid at the pyramid?
No! It was like a marketing thing that if you were in the hotel, you turn it on, and it'd be like, oh, here's a game show, but it was actually a way to show them the different features throughout the hotel. Oh,
okay.
So I'd be like, I'm Tim Convey, and here's the contestants, and here's what we're doing. We're going to see how long it takes you guys to get from here to here and whatever. It was great.
Pretty cool.
And how would you
know Mamrie Hart? Do you know who that is? Actress, comedian.
Who?
She's great. Mamrie Hart.
No.
She co-hosted it with me.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's great. Anyway, check it out. There's an elevator in Brazil, the busiest elevator in the world, transports 900,000 people every month.
Wow.
In 30-second trips, no less. Pretty good.
900,000, man. That's good numbers. I wonder how many times that gets stuck.
I had an elevator incident. This is a little bit dark, but I lived in an apartment in Brooklyn, and it was like 3-4 stories, and I was at the top one, and one day leaving the apartment and can't use the elevator because they're working on it, right? And I see the guys, see one on my floor, and I see one guy at the bottom, and go out, just go into a bodega down the street. When I came back, there was an incident, and this guy died, and there was just blood.
Oh boy!
All throughout the stair.
It was, geez, man,
it's hair. One of the worst things
was
that
it like
I've
the guy
ever seen in my
you
life.
Talking about the guy who was working on it?
Yeah, he was in the thing.
Yeah, man.
And the car was above him. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was, I mean,
I read bad. Somewhere, I think there's about 27 people a year die in an elevator accident, and half of them are people working on elevators.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a dangerous game.
It's these elevator guys.
It is. 27 people a year, 13 that are not working on the elevator. That's not a lot of people die in elevators.
All right. So let me ask you this. Then the other 14 who aren't working on it, how are they dying? Let's talk about that.
Okay, but compared to driving a car,
or any other type of
anything,
there's
way more people that get injured on stairs than they are in elevators.
Great. Do we know this?
Or falling out of bed? Yes.
Yes. 27. So 13 in a year in the country. That's not very many, Sean.
Not that many.
More people probably die from mustard injuries.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It does burn your eyes.
I'm not talking about the gas.
The gas. Oh. A lot of people dying from mustard gas. Where's your mustard phone?
I'm not afraid, man. Tell me that. Bring it on.
I'm not talking about that mustard. So you want to do some comments?
I would love to do some comments. We appreciate your comments on the YouTube videos and also in the Consumers Podcast fan page. If you're not on it, if you're not in it, if you're not a member, get on Facebook. A
lot of action get in there lately.
Consumers Podcast fan page. I think we're almost at 1,000. Yeah, I wanted to hit it by the end of the year. We didn't do it, but that's okay. So get in the Consumers Podcast fan page on Facebook. Leave stuff in there. Lots of great stuff all over. A lot of controversy about ending the podcast in you have the right to charge your phone versus the former ending, which was you have been
consumed. Some people
consumed.
Are coming around to the old way. Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1 says, hey, guys, I love the podcast, and I liked the ending. You have been consumed. Just saying. She then goes on to say, we addressed this earlier, I have 3 pairs of men's Pringles socks at the Dollar Tree. You will love them. Where do I send them? Do you have a place to send fan mail? We do. We'll post this in the on the YouTube video, but we've got the we have a P.O. box now.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read it one more time. 101 West Argonne, Argonne Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, P.O. box 158.
Awesome.
And I came up with a 158. You know why? Anybody. Why did I pick number 158?
Hang on. Because episode 158?
No.
No.
158. You won't get it.
Give me a hint.
Yeah, I mean, is that this was, like right in our face?
My senior year, that was my wrestling weight.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
How did we?
Why would we not connect the dots?
We're going to look so dumb.
Can't believe you guys didn't know that.
God.
Thought we were friends.
Yeah. Nah, I'm sorry, buddy. We just, you know, Sean and I are tired. We've been through a lot. people loved the Josh Arnold episode on Bass Pro Shop. Darth Elliott said, remember when you were a kid and had a sleepover at a friend's house and you ended up laughing deliriously around 2 a.m.? That's what this episode embodied. Loved bringing on the 4th cast member for the 100th episode.
Yeah, we're going to get Joshy back. We love him. Hope you guys could tell he's one of our favorite people in the world. And
you know where he lives, Indiana.
He lives in Indianapolis, but when he comes to St. Louis, we're going to figure out a way to make him do another episode.
Yeah, he's the best. Follow him online at that.
And there's rumors of another Dustin Nickerson episode coming up.
Love it.
Yep.
Get ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I know, man. You don't have to tell us.
Oh, you guys love it because
we're like, can you come to town?
Tease off on me and
man, it was a roast.
It'll be great.
Did a
roast
great job,
Greg Warren.
Brett Englund, 192, said, somehow after watching this episode, I know even less about Bass Pro than I did before I watched it.
I get that.
That's not true, man. We had some good facts. They were thrown in. I was a little off my game on that episode, but I was excited to see Josh.
Thought you were great, yeah. This I enjoy. We talked about the Bass Pro Shop in Memphis that is in the pyramid.
Yeah.
We talked about that quite a bit. Sally Duke 8006 said, I highly recommend staying at the Big Cypress Lodge inside the Bass Pro in Memphis. The rooms look out over the store. All the places you could stay and the views and everything. Like, is that an exciting view? Like, look at the majestic. I like
it. No, well, it's probably a cool looking store. It's got everything.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. But is that, I don't know. It's different. You're not staying there for a week, are you?
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's probably some people that do.
Might get into it, man.
Outdoorsmen.
Which is an interesting, I think.
Don't alienate our outdoorsmen. That's a big part of this podcast.
There's nothing to do with that.
Yeah, don't take shots at fishermen or hunters.
I'm not. I'm saying you're overlooking a big box store.
Yeah, it's not just a big box store. Okay, it's got a giant aquarium in it. It's got wildlife. It's got all kinds of cool stuff. It's not like staying in a Walmart, okay?
Sean, do you know the point I'm making? Do you understand?
I do. I think I understand the point you're making, yeah. You're okay. Just saying, especially for if somebody did it a week.
Somebody's that seems like, I was in Paris, and we looked at the Eiffel Tower, and I was, you know, we looked at the beach.
There was an 80s movie about where Jennifer Connelly got stuck in in a like a Walmart-type store all night with one of my favorite actors, and I can't remember his name.
Frank Whalen.
Yeah, Frank Whalen. Yeah, yeah, good job, buddy.
What's the movie called though? It has a clever name.
It is Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
As a young woman and stunning. Very, very, very attractive. Yeah.
What is that movie called? Oh, is it Career Opportunities?
I think it may be Career Opportunities.
Yep. Career Opportunities.
Career Opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Love it. Shy FM said, Randy drinking room temperature water is genuinely terrifying. Talked about it.
It's supposedly healthy. That's what Sean said.
Yeah. He doesn't have ice. Randy doesn't have ice.
Doesn't have ice.
And then Rich.
Doesn't have name brand water.
Rich Royalty, Robin Reckless Records, who has certainly commented before, said, the whole podcast should be done via the Randy Cam view. People like the Randy Cam on the YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Is that a big deal? Yeah, we got to probably show more of Randy. Randy?
Let's see the Randy Cam.
Let's see the Randy Cam.
And it'll Nate, come in. There
Nate,
he is.
Nate, by the way, there he is. Not here today. Heather Hellickson, 9166, said of the Josh episode, four real men around a tiny table. The best.
I mean, they got to get something in on the table every time.
Yeah.
It is.
They got to take a shot at the table.
I mean, it's to the point you can't ever get rid of the table now. It went from maybe you got to get rid of it. Now it's like, I think the show fails on its face without this table.
I kind of agree, but I wonder if we can try some tweaks. You know, we have the holiday decorations for a while. There's no reason we can't keep the table, but put something up here, maybe.
Tablecloth?
Yeah.
You want to cover up?
That's not a bad idea.
The beauty of this thing?
It might mess with his wiring, and you know how Randy gets.
Yeah, I have a little tweak that I would make, and it would be to get another table.
Oh, that's a strong...
I don't think we can,
strong
man.
Adjustment.
I think we can. I don't know.
We should have people weigh in, yeah.
They're weighing in.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah. And then from the Heinz episode, Amy Baumiller said, oh, you guys made my day. First Heinz is the best. And then saying nice things about Pittsburgh on your 200th episode. I'm born and raised here, and it would be such an honor to have you gentlemen and Randy. She doesn't think you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
Do a live podcast from the Berg. I'll even buy Yinzall a Permentes sandwich.
Permanti Brothers.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
Yinz is what they all say in Pittsburgh. They call them Yinzers. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I'll even buy... Wait, they call the sandwich Yinzers?
That's Pittsburgh people are Yinzers because they say Yinz. It's basically Ewins. Meaning you guys.
It's their y'all.
Yeah, it's their y'all.
Got
Yinz.
It. Cool.
Yinz. But if you're from Pittsburgh, you're a Yinzer.
Yinzer.
If you really talk with that... deep Pittsburgh accent. It's a Yinzer accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I love Pittsburgh. I love it.
I do too. Great comments as well on the Consumers Podcast fan page. Get on there on Facebook. Gabriel, by the way, is taking it upon himself to choose a joke or two from each podcast and compare it to the Succotash joke.
He does, man.
Oh, he does. Yes. and typically... he'll say that whatever it is better than the Succotash joke. Suffering, if you don't remember, Greg, invoking PETA and talking about how much Succotash was, in fact, suffering. Gabe says, the Dear John Boat joke was vastly superior to the Succotash joke.
Has he said once that something was not as good as the Succotash joke?
I'll have to check the numbers on those comments. I don't know for sure.
No, he did have one. He had one because I made something real dumb. I think about a Keurig. And I lost.
Oh, yeah.
It was really just me, like, a play on words. I was just But I think I lost. And he said that was vastly superior.
Yeah, I think you might.
He
calls it up the middle.
He does, man.
Yeah, Gabe straight Reels. Shooter, man. Just he's a straight shooter.
He's the official.
And then I saw somebody. I love the thing. There's this woman named Amy who came to the show in New Year's Eve in Indianapolis. Loyal listener. She's been around since day one, I think. And so I met her. We got a picture. But something like, Sean looks way skinnier in this photo with like one of the thinking emojis. Like, I guess just implying that I'm on Ozempic or something. Like, it's very suspicious.
It's like skinnier than you were on the
just
last
on this
episode.
Show. Yeah, like in the picture of Amy and
oh,
I.
Oh, they thought that
Amy put a picture of her and I at the comedy club.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then it wasn't like a shot at me. It was just like way skinnier. But what made me laugh was this, like, huh?
Like,
how is this possible?
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, how did this guy lose?
That was the emoji.
The little emoji guy was like,
yeah, let's like he's pulling.
What is going on? Is that really him?
Going on? Yeah, we're gonna get to the bottom of it.
We're gonna figure out. There's no way this guy looks 30 pounds skinnier.
He's been eating at the shack too much. But thank you guys for your comments and yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the podcast as well. Things are going well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's pretty awesome meeting some of you guys out on the road. That being said, Sean, you got some plugs.
We got plugs, and I want to thank Mike again for my. Thought it was a Bill shirt, but we'll take it.
Sean's I'll wear 90.
It. And thanks for thinking I'm an XL. Really, more importantly, that's how I know.
I know. Well, he saw the picture. He saw the picture of you and Amy. He's like, should I get a medium?
Yeah. Maybe that needs to go up in the studio.
The shirt?
Yeah,
I'm all
for
it.
Yeah, we might have to studio that.
That might need to go right above the fish. I don't know.
I'm would all be nice. For it. Ew, yeah. You know what else? We got to get. Kirkwood Magazine in here. It's out now, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Should share that. We told the story about the photo shoot.
Oh so yeah.
Kirkwood Magazine. You can see it online, no matter where you are. Kirkwood City Lifestyle Magazine.
Yeah.
And then the we're on the cover. And then if you're in the Kirkwood area, it's fun. It's we're on the cover. Little interview. It's
came delivered to my house.
Mine too. And so thank you, Renee, for all that.
Yeah, Renee, make that happen.
Thanks, Renee.
Consumers fan. Yeah, check that out.
And a good read.
Real
solid.
That's
the history of the show and. How it happened, and I learned something there. I didn't know that was your idea to start a podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Tim was bugging me for a while.
But Greg came up with the concept, correct?
We pitched a bunch of everything. I think this idea is
it was Randy.
That
was Randy, man.
A Greg Randy collaboration.
All right, what's going on? Let's talk dates. Coming up, Greg Warren, January 17th, 18th, Blue Room, Springfield, Missouri. I've been there. A lot of fun.
I was born
cool there. Place. Greg was born there. That's very true.
Bass Pro Shop. You going to go to Pro Shop?
I think I might go to the Wonders of Wildlife Museum.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's right there in Springfield.
Yeah. On brand.
We'll do that. See Greg January 17th, 18th. And then see Greg and myself January 23rd. We'll start the 23rd of January. This is at the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Love it.
Very exciting to be up there. And then January 24th, we're going to be in West Bend, Wisconsin at the Bend Theater.
That's going to be awesome. Just sort of greater Milwaukee area, I think.
Oh, is that where that is?
Hoping my friends Ben and Amy Askren make it out. Maybe Max Askren coming down.
Big fans.
He's a big wrestler guy, right?
Yeah.
Wrestler, like real.
One of the greatest college wrestlers in history and an Olympian. And then he went on to be a great MMA fighter, and now he's a great coach.
He also did a stint at Denny's. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, man. He did.
Go on. I love him. Moving on. Tim Convy, man across from me. You can see him with me January 16th through 19th. St. Charles Funny Bone.
Yep.
Pretty exciting time.
Sean and I rocking it. 6 shows Thursday through Sunday. And then on the Sunday show, Greg will be back. He's going to join us. So all 3 of us, Sunday the 19th.
And then Greg is,
at the streets of St. Charles Funny Bone. And then, Sean and I will be there all weekend. Real excited. I only do this once a year, the local headlining shows. So a little bit of music, lots of stories, new stuff. Me and Sean, going to be great. And Consumers t-shirts.
Oh, are we? That's official.
The weather is bad. So... that is my concern, is that they may not show up by then. If they don't, it's because of the weather. But I would expect by Saturday they're there.
Yeah.
But hopefully Friday. So come see us. St. Louis, right? TimConveyStuff.com.
I mean, if you had a lot of gumption, you just get in a car and drive to Nashville and get them.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. At least honest.
They'll be here.
He's
eventually.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Not big on gumption lately.
I just go to the open mic. Pay some kid.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Couple $100 in a guest spot.
Yeah.
You can go drive to Nashville, get those shirts for us.
Yeah, good idea.
That's it for our dates, guys.
Is that it?
That's what we got.
Great work.
We'll fully update and more stuff next episode after this. So
we are the consumers. You have been consumed.
Go Bills.
Thanks for consuming.
You have the right to charge your phone. Yeah, and
there it is.
Sean 390.